The title of this shiur is davening to be able to daven. Okay, you have this handout here. We're going to get to hopefully towards the end of our time together. And this unbelievable tefillah of Brother Beli Melech Lejans. We're heading towards that, but we need a little preparation for that, a little hachana. What we need to do is to clarify certain misconceptions. Plenty of room up here. Clarify certain misconceptions about davening. We need to know what davening is not before we can talk about what davening is and what it is that we need to do in order to be able to daven. So one of the things we need to do in order to be able to daven is we need to know what davening is not, because we have a lot of misconceptions about davening. And things that we've probably been ingrained in us. And we, the yeshiva, may even be guilty on some level of this as well. And I want to apologize for that. And what I mean to say is that davening is not about coming on time to things. That's not what davening is. And most of us have been trained that that's what davening is. Davening is, you have to come on time to this. And it's about coming on time, and that's the focus. Did you come on time to davening? Did you come to davening? And did you get checked off that you were on the attendance sheet for davening? That's not what davening is. It's an important thing. It's an important thing, don't get me wrong. It's an important thing to come on time for things. It's a good thing to train yourself, to discipline yourself, right, for this year and for the rest of your life. Right, many of you are going to be going into the field of working. Some of you maybe even be learning in kollel. You're also supposed to come on time. Certain kollels, they fine you. They give you a knas, a fine, if you come late. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was a Rebbe in Yeshiva University for many years before that, he was a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. And the Mashkiach in Chaim Berlin, Rabbi Victor Miller, he led a very tough, he had a tough, tight ship that he ran, the Mashkiach. And if you didn't show up to the Beis Medrash by whatever the time was, 9:15, so the doors would be locked. You couldn't get in. Because if you came late, you couldn't learn it for the rest of the day. And even the Rabbeim, and Rav Aaron was a Rebbe, and one time, there was something in the train, there was anyone who takes New York subways will know what I'm talking about, some delay on the New York subway, and he couldn't get to the Beis Medrash on time, and he was locked out. And probably, as the story goes, he was crying, the Rebbe called his mother crying that he was locked out of the Beis Medrash. So it is an important thing to come on time to things, but that's not what davening is. And sometimes we make that mistake because we think that's what davening is, coming on time. As long as I'm on time, as long as I'm there, what I do is the Rebbeim, the yeshiva, my parents are less concerned about what happens when I'm there. But that's really what davening is, what happens when you're there. Some have a conception that davening is about, Isaac, about sitting quietly, behaving, right? And just, you know, not making a ruckus in shul. Some of us have been trained that way. That's what davening is. What exactly you do, Josh, during davening, okay, is less of a focus. Some have it, some understand davening is just, you know, it's about checking off something on a list of a to-do list. Okay? This morning I davened. Okay, checked off. Again, I'm not saying these things aren't important. They are important, but just not to confuse them with what davening is. The Gemara in Brachos has a discussion. The Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak, many of you guys know this Gemara. Shana Bekai learned it last year. Shana Alkai, you probably learned it sometime in your high school career. And some of you may even paid attention during that time. So the Gemara there raises, the beginning of the fourth paragraph, raises an abaya, raises a question. What is davening? What is the nature of davening? Is it in the place of karbanos? Or is it rachamei? Or is it rachamei ninhu? What exactly does rachamei mean? Rachamei. Well, the Gemara's maskana is that although tefillah has both components, the essence of tefillah is rachamei. What does rachamei mean? Mercy. So how does that mean? Tefillah is rachamei. Tefillah is mercy. What does that mean? Tefillah is mercy. Anyone? What does it mean? How does that translate? Hashem has mercy on us. Okay, so tefillah is Hashem has mercy on us. Does that make sense? Tefillah is Hashem has mercy on us. So something's missing there, right? Something missing? What's missing there? Oh, okay, we're asking for mercy. Tefillah is, here's the definition of tefillah according to the Gemara and Brachos. Tefillah is a plea for Hashem's mercy. It's a plea for Hashem's mercy. That's what tefillah is. That's the essence of tefillah. Now, when can you imagine a time when you're pleading for someone's mercy? Okay, maybe you're in Rabbi Amalei's office. Okay, maybe that's a time. Well, maybe some of you have been in a situation where you got pulled over. Okay? You got pulled over, a cop pulls you over, you're doing 90 in a 45 mile per hour zone. Okay? I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to somebody I know quite well. And at that point, he could easily take away your license. Especially because you were on the phone bragging about the fact you're doing 90 in a 45 mile per hour zone, right? You are at this policeman's mercy. So let's try to think of the frame of mind that you need. Okay? Of course, you were rushing to catch. You were doing it for good reason. You were rushing to catch mincha right before Shkia. Right? You want to catch mincha, and now you have to plead for mercy. So would you begin to sort of space out when the officer knocks on your window and says, "Do you know how fast you're going?" Would you begin like to this sort of space out at that moment? Would you begin checking your phone at that moment? Would you reach for the glove compartment and pull out a printed text and start to read to the exalted police officer? I, Michael Olson, stand before you. And you read from this text. Would that work? It's sort of like, if that's the approach, it's sort of like the guy who gets pulled over. Probably heard this before. The guy gets pulled over late at night. His wife's in the car with him, and the policeman says, "Do you know you were going 80 miles an hour?" And the guy says, no, officer, I don't think I was going over 55." And his wife next to him, "What do you mean, honey? You saw on the odometer it said 85. Okay, 85, right? And he goes, "By the way, did you also notice, do you know that you have one of your taillights are out?" And she says, "No, officer, thank you for pointing that out to me." And she's like, "What are you talking about, honey? You've been saying that you have to get this taillight fixed for weeks already." And at this point, the guy is already lost. He, besides staring down his wife, he says, "Can you just shut up?" The policeman says, "Excuse me, ma'am, does he always speak to you like this?" She says, no, only when he's drunk. So that's the kind of situation you'd find yourself in if that's how you're going to plead, make your plea for mercy, if you are going to do some of the things that we tend to do during davening. Now, I don't want you to I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is like a police officer. No, far, far from it. But in order to be able to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, three times a day, in order to plead for mercy, that's what my approach to davening should be, because that's what the essence of davening is, a plea for mercy. So you need to have a certain frame of mind. So the Gemara, later on in Bracha, says, the Mishnah says, Chasidim HaRishonim, HaYishon Sha'achas, Kodim HaTzvila. Sha'achas bitzvila, v'sha'achas acharei hatzvila. That the chassidim harishonim, the early pious ones, they would spend an hour before davening, an hour in davening, an hour after davening, in their preparation for davening, in their post-davening. And they would do that three times a day. The Gemara says, 9 hours of davening, what would be the rest? What would they have time to learn or earn a livelihood? We'll leave that question for another time. But this is actually brought down la'alacha. La'alacha, one is supposed to, before one davens, one is supposed to, we spoke about this last year, Sean Beckeyes made you recall, one is supposed to take a few moments, doesn't have to be an hour. Sha'achas can also mean a few moments. A few moments before he davens, in order to prepare himself for davening. You're about to plead for mercy. You need to be in the proper frame of mind. What is it you're supposed to be doing? La'alacha. Again, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And by the way, this is not like a luxury, like Chassin Rishonim, right? Oh, the Chassin Rishonim used to do this. But we're much more advanced than the Chassin Rishonim, right? We don't need that preparation for davening. We can just go straight into davening. I'm ready to go. No, we all need it. Chassin Rishonim were they extended it for an hour, but we need a few moments, says the Shulchan Aruch. And all the Pesukei Halacha. Rambam, everyone says it. What is it supposed to do? And by the way, it's not a luxury. It's not a luxury that if you don't do it, then let's say you come late to davening. It probably doesn't happen to the guys that are here. But you come late to davening. You come late to davening, and now do I do this? Do I try to do this sha'achas kodem hatfila, or do I go straight into Sukkot Zimra, wherever they're up to? What do you say? What do you think? All right, good answer. Let's go with that. The Sha'achas Kodem HaTfila, what you're supposed to be doing is actually, it's a prerequisite for davening. Because what is that? Now, some could argue that's what the function of Pesukei Zimra is supposed to do. And if you can do it through Pesukei Zimra, what is the goal of that moment we have to talk about? But if you can do it through Pesukei Zimra, okay, so do it through Pesukei Zimra. But the point is, what are you supposed to do? What's brought down halacha? What's brought down halacha is that you're supposed to sit down, and you're supposed to, and this is brought in all the, again, everyone, the Shla, the Rambam, everyone says this. You're supposed to clear your mind of anything that is not related to God. Totally clear your mind. Okay? It's not an easy thing to do. Very, very challenging thing to do, actually. For most of us, it's super challenging. Today, it's even more challenging than it was 20, 30 years ago. There's so many things going on, and we're used to so many things filling our minds, just one thing to the other, okay? Or changing channels from the other, okay? So to be able to clear our mind, that's what we're supposed to do for davening. How else can you possibly daven? How else can you put a plea for Hashem's mercy if you are not there? If you are not present? When you take attention to davening and you say present, there are two definitions. One is present that my body is here, and then there's another type of present where you're actually, your mind is here. Most of us during davening, and I'm talking about myself also, all of the Rebbeim suffered from this as well. Nobody can just walk into davening and be focused. That's the way the halacha is, that everyone needs to do this. And we talk about coming to time to davening, why it's so important. It's actually important to come early to davening, so you can have these moments, a few moments, where you can attempt to clear your mind of everything. All the other things, all the other thoughts. Okay? All the other thoughts that race through our minds. And that the only thing that I should be focusing on is what I'm about to do, that I want to be fully present. I am here. My mind is elsewhere. And it's hard to do it, hard to keep that focus for 40 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 20 minutes, for 5 minutes, it's hard. We all know that from our Shemoneh Esrei. But it's so important that we try to do this. Now, one of the things that you have to understand that almost makes it impossible is if you have your phone on you, or if you're, even if you're using your phone to daven, how many of us have used our phone to daven and just used the Tefillah app or the Siddur app and never at any point, whether it's Chazaras HaShachar or anything, did we look, check something else? I already have my phone. If you are one of those that has done that, and I count myself in that, then we probably shouldn't use our, unless we're in an emergency, we have nothing else. But if you're in a base medrash, just being lazy to walk over to the bookshelf to pull up the siddur, you certainly should go for the siddur. Less chance of being distracted. So that's what you're supposed to do. The Kodem HaTzvila need to clear your mind. That's number one. And we can talk more about this because there's a lot more to talk about in this area. And we'll save it maybe for another time. The other thing we need to do is relates to this week's parsha. Very, very beautiful tefillah. I imagine other rabbis may reference the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu that we're going to read on Shabbos. The tefillah that he offers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect him from Esau. Hatzileinu miyad achin yad Esau. And says Yaakov Avinu, katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emet. You know, we have, before we daven Shemoneh Esrei, that's the central part of our tefillah, right? The central part of Shemoneh Esrei is the bakashos. It's what we're asking for. That's the plea for Hashem's rachamim. We have before it praise and we have after it thanks. So most people have a misconception. Another misconception we have is that why do we praise Hashem at the beginning of tefillah? It's like, you know, we think it's like going over to your dad and saying, you know, so my kids call me. Not so often. But when they call me, it's usually like, hey dad, how's it going? How's your day going? Good, Baruch Hashem. How's it going, yeshiva? Fantastic. Like, right? They're full flattery, buttering you up, right? And you know, the father knows there's something, there's a request, it's about to, you want the car tonight, you want the car Saturday night, you need some money, what is it? Right? You know. So we think that works with Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're awesome, you're great, yeah, right, Melech, Gibor, you're strong, you do everything. And then we're going to ask, that's what Shabbat is? That's what we praise Hashem first? That's not what it is. That's ridiculous. Why do we praise Hashem before we daven? We're not praising Him for Him. We're praising Him for us. So that we come, and we come, we're supposed to come to Hashem with katonti. I am undeserving. I am not worthy. I come to you as a plea. I'm begging. I know I'm not deserved, right? You just did 90 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour. You have nothing. I don't deserve any mercy here, but I'm still asking for mercy. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything, really. You don't owe me anything. There's nothing that I did that could possibly warrant what I'm asking for. But I'm still asking. That's the frame of mind that we're supposed to have when we die. That's, by the way, we spoke about this in Shabbat Shir. That's why the tefillah of Yitzchak was answered before the tefillah of Rivka. It's counterintuitive. Why is the tefillah of the Tzaddik ben Tzaddik answered when the tefillah of the Tzaddik ben Rasha isn't answered? She had a much harder road to get there. She had to do much more work to get to where she's at. He's a Tzaddik ben Tzaddik. He grew up in the house of Avraham and Sarah. Why is Yitzchak's tefillah answered more than there's a lot of different answers to this, but one of the answers is that because the Tzaddik ben Tzaddik feels that he's not worthy. Like, I'm nowhere near where my father was. But my parents were, Avraham and Sarah, they were real tzaddikim. I'm nowhere near that. Of course, I feel like I'm so far where I need to be. But the tzaddik in Russia feels like, I'm better than my parents. Right? Because I'm deserving of things. Because I'm much better off than my parents were. So the tefillah that comes, like feeling with the unworthiness, I'm nowhere near where my parents were. I'm nothing compared to where my parents were. So that's the tefillah, that's the kind of attitude one needs when he dies. Katonti, we call Chazadim, we call Amen. So now we come to this tefillah that you have before you. It's such a beautiful, beautiful tefillah. And you have to understand, many of us today, I'll remind you, today is the deadline to sign up for Poland. One of the highlights, if not the highlight of the trip to Poland, is going to the Kever of Rabbi Melech Lujansk. Rabbi Melech Lujansk, tremendous tzaddik, third generation Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov, the Magen Mezrich. And one of the great Talmidim of the Magen Mezrich was Rabbi Melech Lujansk, the one who brought Chassidus to Poland. And so one of the highlights of this trip is when we go there, we daven there, and there's an unbelievable skula, strength, koach of tefillah at that place. One of the things we do there is we share many examples of tefillahs that have been answered, that were recited there by the Kever of Elinah. And we'll say that for them. But understand that one of the things you have there when you go to this kever is you have this big sign that a student of Rabbi from the Tirari donated in his honor to of this tefillah. It's called Tefillah Kodem HaTefillah. The tefillah that precedes tefillah that was written by Rabbi Elimelech Lujansk. What's the story behind this tefillah? It's actually brought down in one of the Talmidim, the Admor, the Sava Kedisha of Radishitz, wrote a sefer called Niflos. He brings down the story. When he was a young child, he went to Lujansk, and they were outside the Rebbe's room, the Rebbe's office, and he was talking with a bunch of Hasidim, and all of a sudden this group of, looked like Hasidim to them, but very tall, something that it was very different about them. Quickly, they moving very, very fast, they went straight in to the Rebbe. When all the other Hasidim waiting outside, they went straight into the Yechidus of the Rebbe. And they had to describe it, they had to like lower their heads. They were so cool, they lower their heads just to get in through the doorway. And they go in, doors closed, and everyone's like outside all the time. I said, "What is that? What is that? Like something so strange about that. Who are these people?" And then about 20 minutes later, the door opens, and they want to catch to see who they know who they are. Who are these? I'll meet them with the Rebbe. And they couldn't even see them. They sort of like backed out, and then they moved out. And before they knew it, they were gone. They're trying to find them. They couldn't find them. So one of the elder Hasidim goes into Rebbe Elimelech and says, "Rebbe, what was that? Who were those people?" So the Rebbe Elimelech says as follows to them. He says, "You know that it's become almost nearly impossible for us to daven anymore. There's so many distractions that we have." And this is Rebbe Elimelech 250 years ago. Almost. 220 years ago. So he says, "There's so many distractions that we have. It's almost impossible for us to focus on davening. So I wanted to change the davening. I wanted to make it a shorter davening, so that people at least can be focused and be able to maintain that focus and be present, that I'm standing for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to say words that have meaning in a shorter tefillah, a shorter amount of time. And that was my intention. And I was visited by some of the members of the Anshei Knesset and Gola. Some of those who, the original Mechaberim of the Tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei. And they told me they said, under no circumstances are you allowed to change the Tefillah. Says, but what are we supposed to do? People can't focus anymore. They can't daven. It's still davening. So they were made a pshara that you would be Mechaber a Tefillah called a Matzvillah. You would author a tefillah that people should say, and you'll find this in many siddur, any nusachari siddur, Sephardi siddur, not necessarily Edo Mizrach will you find it, but nusach Sephardi. So they have this tefillah in the siddur, and it's the tefillah called a tefillah that people should say before they daven to help them overcome the lack of kavana that we have during davening. It's a skula on the one hand, but it's also the tefillah itself is so beautiful. It really captures many of the ideas that we need to be coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these concepts. We need to daven before we daven in order to daven. We need to prepare ourselves before we daven in order to daven. We need to come early. Not because it's important to be on time for things. That is important, but that's not what tefillah is. Tefillah is we're trying to plead for God's rachamim. And that's the only way we can possibly connect Hashem in a serious way. It's the only way we can provide for our needs. And so he authored this beautiful, beautiful tefillah, which you have here before you in Hebrew and English. I just want to point out a few of the themes here. In the last few minutes that we have together. Okay, so if you look at this first page here, the prayer before praying of the Holy Rebbe Melech of the Jews. Looking here at the second paragraph. You are a merciful God with your abundant compassion and great kindness. Have mercy and forgive and pardon and atone for us and all of your nation Israel. Forgive all that we have sinned, transgressed, and vilifying ourselves while rebelling against you. Right away, we're coming and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a compassionate God, you're giving, but please don't hold us accountable for our sins. Please don't have our sins before you. For it is revealed and known before you, that we did not, heaven forbid, willingly and rebelliously sin and bitter the words of your mouth and the words of your Torah and your commandments. Rather, it's because of the evil inclination. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you know better than us that we want to do what you want us to do. We want to do what's right. In our essence, we want to do what's right. We want to do it properly. But we have the Yetzirah. And that Yetzirah has distracted us. The Yetzirah has filled our mind with thoughts that are contrary to getting close to you. It has gotten us to do actions and filled us with kairos, with desires. That, although natural, are not helpful, not healthy. They're not helpful for us right now. They're not helpful. And they draw us away from you. Please consider that fact. As we try to pray before, come now before you pray. Next paragraph. Even when we stand and pray before you, pleading for our very souls, the evil inclination persistently confuses our thoughts with its tricks and ruses. We're trying to daven, and all of a sudden, all these ideas are popping through our head. All these thoughts of things that we may have seen, things that we may have looked at, or desire to look at. I'm trying to say Kriyat Shema. Trying to Mekabel Olam HaShamayim. I didn't ask for these thoughts to pop into my head. Now yes, we believe that it's in our control to then, once that thought pops into our head, to push it aside. The well-known is brought down in Halacha that if a person is filled with thoughts, distracting thoughts during davening, that he should stop what he's doing, he should concentrate on the pasuk, wave to Hor Barali Alokim, Ruach Nachom Chadesh B'Kirbi. Right? God has created me with a pure heart and a correct spirit. He has put inside of me. And that is a school. It works. It works. You focus on that pasuk, and you're able to push away those thoughts and get back to God. That's like the Sha'achas Kodem Matrila, the Tzim Rishonim, that we can do even during Tefillah. And some of us need to do it constantly, and that's okay. That shows the effort you're making. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to rid myself of these distractions. Turning to the next page. Page 318 here. Now please awaken your abundant compassion and kindness towards. Again, this plea for God's compassion. Drive out, chase away, and destroy evil inclination from our midst. Help us. Help us to remove the Yetzer Hara. My friends, this tefillah, get to davening 5 minutes earlier, whether it is Shacharis or Mincha or Maariv, sit down. Try on your own to focus. Push away those thoughts, all those distracting things going through your mind. Say this tefillah. And if it's now you need to say it in English so you understand it, say it in English. Great. This is a sula. This works. You say this, it will change your davening. You daven Hashem, and you say it sincerely, not just reading a text, not just pulling it out of the glove compartment and saying, "Officer, awaken our hearts, the hearts of your nation Israel," but actually mean what you're saying. Look, read it, and it should be coming in a heartfelt way. This will change your davening. It's very honest. It's real. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need your help in order to daven. That's the prerequisite for davening. Is to recognize that we need Hakadosh Baruch Hu's help. Katonti, I'm too small for this. I need your greatness to help me.
Once we're able to do that, and to come in with that proper frame of mind,
imagine all the things you're going to learn today in the next sessions are going to be much more impactful for you. We're going to, most of you guys have signed up